Packer Pushers, the data networking podcast where real engineers get together to talk nerdy. It's a special place where we never apologize that you don't know where a packet or a router is. And here in our virtual boardroom, where the air conditioning always works at exactly the right temperature, and the virtual whiteboard with the virtual markers is always ready to go. Today, we are having a sponsored podcast with StatSeeker. StatSeeker is a management platform, a network management platform that gathers stats from your network. If you've never run into StatSeeker before, I can promise you, as somebody who's dabbled with the product over the last 10 years or so, that it is quite an astonishing. So when I met Stuart Reed, who is joining us today to talk about StatSeeker at Cisco Live, I was excited, and he said he'd love to come on the show. So without further ado, let me introduce Stuart. Stuart, welcome to the Packet Pushers.
Hello, Greg. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah.
Even though it is only 5:30 in the morning down here in Australia, it's still a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, and the weird part is, of course, that it's 8:30 on a Friday night, and what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, it's Saturday morning for me down here, and the last 8 years or so, I've been getting up at crazy hours and looking after our customers in the Northern Hemisphere.
Sure.
So it's pretty normal for me to be up at 2:00 in the morning on a Saturday morning talking to people, because that's still people's Friday afternoon in the rest of the world.
Yeah, look at us. Too much networking would never be enough. What I wanted to do is we want to introduce your product, which is StatSeeker, to the audience. So why don't you give us 60 seconds of the blurb on what StatSeeker is all about?
Our customers, they normally have other tools already, and they've got just about every tool you can imagine, from the freeware stuff all the way through to the top end, where they spend millions of dollars on network management tools. Regardless of what they have, there's a simple problem that does not get addressed by any other product, and it's the ability to monitor the entire network. In a nutshell, what StatSeeker does is we monitor every switch port and every router port in every site that every 60 seconds from a single box, so no remote pods and no remote data collectors. And more importantly than all of that, we keep all of that data in 1 minute increments without ever rolling it up. So what happens with many products is that, you know, they say they can monitor the whole network, but what they really mean is they just get memory, temperature, and CPU. But they don't actually get down to the interface stats on the whole network. And that's the problem that we fix. I like to say that StatSeeker is an industrial strength baseline with real-time reports on the top.
Right. So StatSeeker, monitoring tool, reaches out to the network device with SNMP, pulls back the SNMP stats that every network device in the world has got, right?
Yeah, that's right, as long as the device supports MIB2. I'd just like to give you an example. Our largest client was monitoring 1.2 million interfaces every 60 seconds from a single box. So no remote polars or data collectors here. This is just one machine monitoring an enormous infrastructure and pulling back stats that allow us to show them what's down, what's slow, what's congested, what's dropping packets, what's running errors, who's spewing out the most data, as well as what's running out of memory, temperature, and CPU. But we're doing that on 1.2 million interfaces. Whereas if you were to look at the tools they were using previously, and you can fill in the blank for the tool, whether it's freeware all the way through to, you know, the $1 million per year products, no matter which one you tend to plug in, none of them were able to do much more than monitoring just the WAN links and the uplinks on this particular customer. And we like to say to people, okay, you've got this network monitoring tool, you've spent X dollars on it, or if it's freeware, you've spent X dollars trying to deploy it, and you're monitoring your WAN links and your uplinks, but how does that help you? What if the network problem is not on a WAN link and is not on an uplink? What about the other 90% of the network out where the users are connected to the network that's not being monitored? So, you know, how does it help you to be monitoring the core of the network and the user rings up and complains and says, I've got a problem? You look at the core and you can see there's no problem there. Mm-hmm. And that's because the problem's somewhere else.
Let me give you the classic example that I've personally run into, and this is where, you know, I've had any number of Perl scripts and software packages that I've used over the years to do stats monitoring. And I had a situation where I had a remote site. I knew I could only poll, I think it was like 60 MIB variables inside of the time frame because, as you say, the latency, because I could poll, wait, poll. And then I set up parallelization, so I had 10 polls, and then that sort of solved it for a while. And then what happened was somebody went out to the site, and so we were only able to monitor the WAN, the CPU, the temperature, and we had to pick the top 50 ports on the site.
Yeah.
And so we picked all of the file servers that we knew and all the things, you know, the uplinks between the campus LANs and all that sort of stuff. And then sure enough, what happened 6 months later, there was some fault going on in the network and we needed to see what had happened. And then we found out that somebody had been in and installed a whole bunch of new servers on this switch over here. And of course, we weren't monitoring that. And that was
That's right.
So we didn't know. And it turned out later on, of course, that two of the servers had a cabling fault and the errors on those interfaces were off the scale. But it wasn't, and even worse, it came and went. So we actually had to sit, someone had to sit there with the interface and go show in, show in. And then eventually we realized that there was an error problem and we were able to fix it. And that's the value of being able to monitor, well, for me, you know, when we were talking at Cisco Live, you know, you said, we monitor every interface. And I went, Yeah, you need that, but you don't know you need it until you need that.
That's right. And I like to say to people, the next time an end user rings up and has a problem, since you're not monitoring that end user's interface, your network monitoring tool is only partially helpful. And in fact, if the network problem is not in the part that you are monitoring, see, if you're only going to monitor a small part of the network, being WAN and uplinks, then you better hope that the bit that breaks is in the core of the network. Otherwise, your network monitoring tool was a waste of money. And this is why our clients come to us. It's
well,
kind of like
it's an 80-20. So I would take the view that it's an 80-20. You're covering 80% of the network, and hopefully you're picking up 80% of the faults. And the other 20%, well, you couldn't solve them without the tool that you had.
Yeah, I might actually reverse it around. I'll give you some examples. Most organized, let's say we're a university and we've got about 20 or 30,000 ports on the network. That'd be a relatively small university in American terms in the US, but I work with those kinds of people all the time. And usually they're using freeware, MRTG, Cacti, Cricket, Nagios, OpenNMS, or some tool like that. And out of 20,000 ports, they're doing their WAN links and uplinks. But that might represent a maximum of 500 to 1,000 ports. And that means that they've got 19,900 ports that are not monitored. So we find that when you actually look at what people do with their SolarWinds and WhatsApp Gold and their even their CA UniCenter and HP OpenView or freeware, and you ask them how much of the network are you actually monitoring, normally the answer comes back at about 1 to 2% of the network. And the other 99% or 98% of the network is invisible to the customer. And that's where we come in. It's monitoring all those VLANs, trunks, channels, PVCs. It's everything all the way out to the very edge. But that's not the whole story, because these days, PCs and servers are so powerful that you can actually do a lot more monitoring now than you could 10 years ago when we first invented StatSeeker. I have seen clients take tools like MRTG, which is freeware, and really crank it up and have it monitoring 30,000 ports. But that then brings in a whole bunch of other questions about how do you keep it practical to monitor 30,000 or 40,000 ports. Or even if you've just got a network with, you know, 300 or 400 users and you've got 1,000 ports, how do you keep it practical to actually collect a lot of this data? And what happens with the other tools is they have to start throwing additional polars at it. And so you've got database synchronization issues to deal with.
Yeah.
And they start to slow the polling down. And again, we don't do either of those issues. So let me give you an example of a client I was working with recently in Colorado. And they said to us, how many servers do I need to monitor 50,000 ports every minute? And we said, well, just a beefed up PC, just a desktop PC with probably 6 gigs of memory in it will be enough. And they said, no, we're actually talking about monitoring all 50,000 ports. And I said, yeah, so am I. Just one machine is plenty. And they said, well, they'd actually been speaking to another well-known piece of software that has many hundreds of thousands of clients, and they were told that they were going to need 30 file servers to do that job. And I said, and how often are they going to do the polling? And they said, well, they needed 30 file servers to do one-minute polling. And I then said to them, and how long do they store that data before they throw it out? And now, to be polite, what most software vendors do is they say, we roll up your data or we prune your data. That's just a polite way of saying we throw it out. We take your network baseline and we take your network monitoring and we can't store it all, so we just throw it away. That's basically what they say.
Yeah. Well, we've all done that, right? So we've all run, well, I would imagine most of Packet Pusher's listeners would have done the MRTG thing. And so what happens there is, say, if you poll every 1 minute, you store that value into a circular database. So you store it in one and you poll. And then when you get around to the other side, the circular database is empty. And so you say, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll take the last 5 entries, add them up, divide them by 5 to create an average, and copy it into the 5-minute database, and then start to overwrite. That's conceptually, I mean, different companies do it different ways. Conceptually, that's where the problem is. And so what you see is when you go back into the 1 month graph from a year ago, you're seeing the 30 minute average. So 31 minute values have been averaged to 5 minute, and then the six of the 5 minutes have been averaged to 1 30 minute value, and that's what you're seeing on the graph. If you want to drill down into how, like I was talking about these faulty file servers, so in a StatSeeker thing, you can actually drill down and down and down, and you can say, I want to see the hour, I want to see the 8 hours of the day from a year ago at the 1 minute interval, and you can show me that, can't you?
Absolutely. Usually in less than 3 seconds. We keep that data in. This is probably the key reason our clients come to us. I mean, the fact we can monitor the whole network, that's really important. The fact we can do it from one server, that's just convenient. The fact that we do it every minute, well, that's great for today because we want to know what's happening right up. You know, the end user rings up and says, I've got a problem. You want to be able to see what the network is doing right up to the current minute. You don't want to wait for 5 minutes for your polling engine to have a look at something and give you the last 5 minute average. You want to see what's happening right now. But potentially the most important reason for why clients find interest in StatSeeker is that once we've collected this data, we do let you go back and compare it to any time in the past to see if today's performance is normal. You know, maybe it's normal at this hour of the morning on a Saturday morning. It's 5:52 in the morning down here on a Saturday morning. So maybe it's normal at 5:52 in the morning for this particular link to get really flooded because it's supposed to do that. It's some kind of routine that's scheduled to happen. But you can only tell if it's supposed to happen if you can look at 5:52 from last Saturday and 5:52 from the Saturdays before that to see if this is normal practice or not. And this really is the key thing that StatSeeker does. By keeping this data in a one minute baseline and being able to access it in a couple of seconds, it means that we actually have what I like to call an industrial strength baseline. It's every interface on the entire network every 60 seconds. And being able to access that in about 3 seconds for any historical data, that actually makes the data useful. You know, if you have to take 5 minutes to run the report or 20 minutes to run the report, for a network engineer, it's not that useful. You know, you want the data now so you can fix it.
Let me give you an example of what I did once in a StatSeeker site. I just remembered this is a long time ago because you've been in business for like 10 years or more, haven't you?
Yeah, 12. We started July of the year 2000.
Not that you know exactly when you did that or anything.
No, I was employee number one, so I remember it well.
So I remember, this is in Australia, and I remember sitting down with a customer, and the customer said, "Wow, we're very panicked, you know, end of year run coming up." And they did, I think it was an accounting thing, and we needed to see the system, and we didn't, you know. And I'm sitting there going, well, how am I going to look at this? And, you know, and I realized I could go into StatSeeker, because they had StatSeeker, this is a long time ago. I can't even remember the name of the customer for the life of me, can't remember. And went back, and we were able to look at the minute-by-minute tray of the bandwidth going in and out of this accounting server, which hadn't changed in, you know, 5 years or something. And we could actually look at the same period of time in one-minute increments going back 5 years to see what the traffic profile would be like and project forward on exactly the data. And I remember a couple of years later sitting in another customer site looking at an MRTG database that we'd been collecting for a year and looking at the one-hour average for that week.
Yeah.
And going, oh, you know, there's no – all I'm seeing is the average. I can't see the peak. I can't see the lows. I couldn't see the ebb and flow in a 24-hour period. All I was getting was a 30-minute – I had in a 24-hour day, there was 48 data points. And I was going, this isn't – I mean, it was better than nothing, right? But it wasn't enough to help me make that decision point.
Sometimes, Greg, I get asked, why would I want to keep the data for more than a year? Don't you want to do capacity planning at the time that the network is the busiest? And the ability to go back to last year and see how the busiest day last year has changed compared to the busiest day this year and previously before that. You know, if you're a university, you might want to do the first day of enrollments, or you might want to do, you know, the first day of exams and go back and have a look at the last 12 years to see, well, how's the first day of exams changed?
Well,
and
because I'm not too sure you're in touch with the kids today, because I'm pretty sure it'd be like the first day that Firefly was released on BitTorrent, the first episode of Avengers on BitTorrent.
yes, that's right. If I could just summarize what StatSeeker does in a nutshell, there's four things that people like about StatSeeker. The first is that we do the entire network, which we just think is fundamental. To not monitor the entire network, you just have to question, how does the monitoring you've got help you if you're not monitoring the bit of the network that's got a problem? So we just think that that's fundamental. all of our clients agree with that philosophy, and that's why they come to us. If you don't think it's necessary to monitor your whole network, you'd never bother coming to us. Of course, we'd probably suggest that people should try monitoring their whole network so they can see how disastrous the edge is performing, but you have to monitor all the way to the edge to know that. The second thing that we do is that we do it every 60 seconds. The third thing is that we do it from one box, and those three things kind of provide a convenience factor to it. And as well as one box, it's the speed of being able to access data in a couple of seconds instead of a couple of minutes. Underlying all of that and taking all of that into or making all of that useful is that we have that 1 minute baseline underneath it that never gets thrown out. And that raises a question that people ask me all the time. And they say, do we need to have a storage area network to store this data? And we spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of development hours, many man weeks, figuring out how to get data onto and off a disk very quickly in a highly compressed format. And the result is that we use up 1 gig of disk space per 1,000 ports per year. Let's just go back to the earlier example of that telco in Colorado with 50,000 ports. 50,000 ports means we're going to use 50 gig per year. And the smallest hard drive you can buy today is a 500 gig disk, which means they're going to get about 8 to 10 years of data storage on a 50,000 port network off a hard drive that might be worth just a few hundred dollars. Obviously, you still need to have StatSeeker loaded and the operating system loaded, so you can't use the entire disk just for data storage. But the concept remains that most people can just take an existing PC or an entry-level server, and they can end up storing data for longer than their network is going to last and keep that data in one-minute numbers. There's certainly no need for a storage area network or something like that with StatSeeker.
You might put RAID in for to give yourself some reliability in case something happened, but that would be it.
And see, again, performance is everything. Having the data is one thing, yep, but having the data at your fingertips is completely different. And so when it comes to RAID, we did extensive testing again to look at how does RAID 0, 1, RAID 10, RAID 5 and 6 perform. And we pretty much took RAID 5 and 6 and put it in the trash can or the bin, as we'd say in Australia, and said, don't do that. So
just mirroring would do it.
Yeah, that's right. We found that RAIDs 5 and 6 could be 15 times slower than RAID 0 or 1. So StatSeeker likes to see just a very simple RAID setup in order to get the speed that...
Yeah, I would only do mirroring just to have a redundant unit, just because of that.
Yep.
So I want to dig down. Now, if anybody's still listening to us, I want to get a little bit nerdy and ask you some questions about... Now, you're saying no remote pollers because you can poll everything from just one server. Now, that's got significant financial advantages because obviously you don't have to roll servers out to locations, you don't need to maintain them, you don't have to power them and all that sort of stuff. So how do you get that efficiency? Is it really just using C? Is everything programmed in C and that's just the way it is? Or are you just doing really optimized up the wazoo on your code for everything that you can think of and some?
It's more of the optimized up to the wazoo. But there's a couple of things here that are really important. And the first is the database. You know, you were talking before about RRD tool and how it has to roll up data over time. And if we were to use a general purpose database, then we have all of the general purpose overheads that go with that. So the first thing we need to do is to be able to receive the data and store it somewhere and take in millions of SNMP variables per minute on the really big networks. And that requires us to have our own database. So we wrote our own time series database. And that really is critical to things. That on its own or by itself is not sufficient. To make something like StatSeeker work, you also have to have a rather clever and balanced polling algorithm. So, you know, we poll everything in parallel, but we also have to learn how to spread the load across the entire polling period. And what I mean by that, I don't want to give away too many secrets on what we do, because this really is, you know, a uniqueness and a competitive advantage for us is the ability to do this big scale. But if you just think about something like a 300 port switch, rather than trying to collect all of that data in the first 2 seconds and then going to the next switch, we space it out. We'll get a bit of data from the switch in the first few seconds, and then we'll wait, give the switch a rest, then we'll get a little bit more data. And over the entire minute, we will collect all of the data for that switch. So it's not like we talk to the box. It's not like we talk to a switch once every 5 minutes to get all of its data. We talk to that box consistently over an entire 60-second period to get all of the data we need in a 60-second window. We'll get all of the data we need from that switch in 60 seconds.
Well, that answers my other question, is you're going to pace it out so that you actually continually, you're able to fit all the data in. And obviously there's some smart stuff going on saying I've got to collect this much, so I have to make this many queries and so on and so forth. But the other thing is you're not going to kill the box then by doing one fat request and spike the CPU, which used to happen.
That's right. There's two, when we talk about killing the network, there's two parts you can kill. The first is you can override the management card on the switch and kill the switch. And, you know, in the old days, you could stop a switch from switching while you were polling it. That doesn't happen so much anymore.
Never happened to me. No, I knew exactly what I was doing when that happened.
So we get around that by this parallel polling of the entire network and then kind of spacing the data collection across an entire minute or spreading the load intra-device across the entire minute inside that device. But that just means we don't kill the devices. The common question I often get asked then is, are you going to kill my network? And when you think of some of the really big companies, if you go to our website on our homepage, we've got a really large company that allows us to have a written reference from them, but they're a big freight company in the US. But these guys have got 500,000 switch ports that are monitored every 60 seconds, but that's done across 3,000 sites around the world, and it's done from one box in Tennessee. So anyone in the States would know who I'm talking about already. But that's 500,000 interfaces, 19,000 switches and routers monitored every 60 seconds from the US with 3,000 locations around the world being monitored. And some of those links out to these remote sites are quite skinny. They can be 128K links.
I was going to say, some places in the world there is no bandwidth. It's ISDN if on a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's real life. And so how does StatSeeker monitor those? And the trick behind that is being able to – there's a couple of things we do. Firstly, I'll give you the mathematics, if you like, so you know how much bandwidth we actually take up, and then we'll talk about how we do it. But the actual mathematics is this. If you imagine you've got a 24-port switch and just a 64K link, so you've got a very skinny link and you want to monitor that remote switch, StatSeeker, to monitor that 24-port switch every minute and to collect the – probably 80 or so SNMP variables that we want from that switch in that minute, StatSeeker is going to use 0.6 of 1% of that bandwidth. In other words, just over half of 1% of a 64K link to monitor a switch. And these numbers end up being linear. So if you have 48 ports, you're going to use about 1.2% of a 64K link. And if you had 100 ports, you'd use about 2.4% of a 64K link. And they're also vendor independent, so it doesn't matter what the brand is of the switch, the mathematics works out to be the same. So how do we manage to keep that bandwidth so low when we're collecting so much data? Well, the point is that your skinniest links are going to go to your smallest sites, so we're not pulling a lot of data back in the first place. And when you've got 3,000 sites around the world and you're pulling all of that data back into the core, by the time you get into the core, we're talking about network bandwidth speeds that are hundreds of times faster than a 64K link, and so the bandwidth still stays.
To become trivial. What you're effectively saying in summary is it's trivial.
Absolutely.
Half a 1% to poll that sort of number, even over a high latency line that's a little far away, still workable overall.
Yeah, it's not just possible, it's actually practical. You don't see StatSeeker traffic unless you go looking for it. I mean, obviously we put some load on the network because we have to send and receive packets, but you really typically need a sniffer or something to go looking for it. In fact, with StatSeeker, when people plug it in, we actually monitor ourselves so we can show you exactly how many packets and how big they are and what the total volume of traffic is we send to any box, because people are so used to other tools where they think this is going to flood my network that they, in the old days, they didn't believe us that we could do it. We actually built into StatSeeker the ability to show you in simple reports how much data we're generating ourselves. But that then raises the question about how do we do that? How do we keep it down so low in the first place? And a big part of that is spreading the data collection over the entire minute. But another big part of that is we do not try to get every SNMP variable. If you do an SNMP walk of a box and say, tell me all the variables I can collect, there's many, many hundreds of variables that you can collect, and sometimes way more than that, depending on the device. So what we're doing is we're just looking for very specific data. So when we send an SNMP get, we're sending a get to obtain the data that we want only, and no other data. We're basically bringing back the data that lets us answer.
You're not walking the tree, you're not fetching this and you're fetching that, you're just targeting the exact MIB variable. I imagine you're probably even optimizing for a given device in most conversations.
Often that's true, and because of that, And because we're not going for the whole tree, even the discovery process becomes quite, well, I won't say it's quick because that's a subjective judgment. I'll give you an example. I did an installation just recently with a web hosting firm monitoring 121,000 ports. We put in StatSeeker in less than half an hour from the time we put the CD onto the machine to the time that we had 121,000 ports installed and discovered and being monitored every minute was less than 30 minutes. And that's the normal experience. If you've got a 1,000 port network, it's still about the same amount of time because you have to load the operating system, you have to load StatSeeker, and that's the same regardless of how big your network is. But the network discovery portion of it is quite quick because we're doing an intelligent discovery. We're discovering what we want, and we're not trying to discover everything that the box can do. We're only looking to get the data that we think makes the most sense. So we do play the 80-20 rule that if a device is able to give us 500 variables, well, we're going to say, well, what's the variables that people want every single day that make the most difference? So things like what's flooded, what's congested, what's dropping packets, running errors, show me my broadcast, multicast, show me if it's up or down. And that's the kind of stuff we're really aiming and focusing on getting.
Okay, Stuart, I think we might have talked about this for long enough. We're getting into this for a long time, and I know we've gone a bit nerdy for some people, but personally,
and I want some breakfast.
You want, and I'm looking forward to a beer. The it doesn't quite work, does it, really? So what I wanted to do is wrap it up. Why don't you tell people where they can find you and how they can get a hold of your product?
The company is StatSeeker. We're quite happy for people to download a free trial of StatSeeker and provide them with an activation key with no strings attached. We just let people plug it in and run it. And we work on the basis that if they can turn off the trial license, they will. And if they can't turn off the trial license, then they'll call us and ask us how the pricing stuff works. So we just do that with everybody. There's no restrictions or any requirements on that. So we'd love them to, anyone who wants to plug it in, they're welcome to do so. If they go to www.statseeker.com, they can just follow the relevant links on the homepage there for an information request or a demo request or a trial request. And we'll be in touch with them and we'll send them the link to download it and we'll give them an activation key to plug it in and get it up and running.
Personally, I have used StatSeeker, despite the fact that this is a sponsored show, and we thank StatSeeker for doing so. I've used StatSeeker, and I can recommend it to you. It's quite a product that focuses on just doing one thing, but it does it astonishingly well. In a world where most products look like a like one of those Swiss Army knives, and it does everything kind of badly, this thing is a Bowie knife of interface monitoring. So that's it for the show this week, and thanks for listening to the Packet Pushers. We'd love to hear your feedback about today's show, so send us to emails at packetpushers@gmail.com and let us know what you're thinking. Of course, you can check out the podcast website, where we'll have a blog post with some more details, and Stuart's given me a bit of a presentation here on why customers decide to own StatSeeker, and I think I'm going to put that there for you to have a look at. You can always follow us on the Twitter as @PacketPushers, and don't hesitate to leave some comments about the show or when you get on the phone to StatSeeker to spend a little bit of money with them. Don't hesitate to tell them that you heard it from the Packet Pushers. And as always, remember that too much networking would never be enough.